a flat circle. If everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
How about hour number two on a Thursday? Out and about today with your chance to win some Texas tickets and talking plenty of Texas OU. Trey Elling was doing a little extra work today. He and Brad filling in for Rod. Today we've got Sam Pika producing for us. We appreciate that. I'm Chad Hastings. Kevin Dunn alongside. Patrick and Sean got us all set up on this end. Also, Chrissy from Coors Light is out here at HEB on 79. Come by and get registered for those silver bullet seats for the Kansas game. Also, thanks to Charlie, who came by to say hello, and Garrett, who just came by to say that they listened to the show. They appreciate it. Also, the guy that used to live in my neighborhood, and we gave him a couch, came by to say thank you, and they said the couch treated him well.
That was funny, and the couch has moved on now.
Yeah, the couch has moved on to another place, that old scrap heap in the sky, probably.
Someone in Morgantown bought it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, talk to one of our favorite guys, because he can cover it all. It's Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. Dustin, how you doing on this Thursday?
Still trying to digest everything that was yesterday's sporting event and then looking ahead to Texas OU. So it's brain overload right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Dustin, how much of this with the Dodgers and mismanaging? I mean, look, Roberts has done this before, and I definitely want you to get into all that and what you would have done. But how much of this is – you and I talked about it throughout the year. It's like they were still protecting Kenley Jansen in his ego, and they had issues in the back end, but he was not the answer. It almost felt like it was that same version of old respect and respect for what the guy's stuff used to be with Kershaw.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, we know, we talked about it all the time, that they could have benefited from going out and getting a big-time bullpen arm at the deadline. But I'm not sure how much that would have mattered if the ultimate issue is the usage. And, you know, last night was just – it was air after air after air, and it felt like Roberts was trying to make Kershaw something that he's not. Like, this isn't the same. Clayton Kershaw was a good pitcher this year. He was actually a really good pitcher. But Clayton Kershaw's average fastball velocity is 90.3 miles per hour now. Back in 2015, it was 94.2. This is not the same guy in terms of stuff. Yeah, the spin on the breaking stuff's better as he's learned more and matured and things like that. But he's not. This isn't Max Scherzer running out there. This isn't Patrick Corbin with 95 in the tank and then that devastating slider. So I think that he was trying to force Kershaw to be something that he wasn't, which, okay, you're still, it's 3-3, you know, and then Maeda comes in and proves that, hey, he should have been the guy initially that got in there when he struck out the next three guys. You've got Kolarik and Jensen, and I know Jensen still hasn't been the same, but he's still a guy that's pitched a lot in a lot of those situations before. My biggest issue with all of that was you brought out Joe Kelly for a second inning. You know, dancing with Joe Kelly in that situation alone, you got to feel like you just won the lotto if you can get a perfect inning out of him. Like, all right, we're done. Let's get him out of here. You know, we've got what we got. But Roberts got fooled by how good that inning was. So he brings the box out there, back out there for a second inning, which I know this, the data that they have says that that will be a bad move. And he's got Kolarik and Jensen up in the bullpen. And then you get to the point where, okay, there's guys on. You're intentionally walking Soto. So not only did Kolarik not face him with Kershaw on the mound, you don't let him face him again with a second opportunity coming up, and then you load the bases, and then you leave Joe Kelly in the game when you've got two guys hot in the bullpen. At least with I know Kolarik's a left-handed pitcher, but he's a sinker guy. He's a guy that you pound the ball into the ground against. You know, why not bring him in even to face Howie Kendrick? It's just – it was air after air after air. And you said it, Dave Roberts has a track record of this. And I think that, you know, last night was so bad with a 106-win team that was a favorite, that was at home, that their starter handed their bullpen a 3-1 lead. I don't think Dave Roberts is going to be able to survive this.
Wow. And he just signed, I believe, a 4-year deal, right, Dustin?
December,
yeah, back in December,
like
maybe?
I think he's got 3 years left on that deal, yeah. But, you know, money's not an issue for the Dodgers. The bigger issue for the Dodgers is they keep winning the division. They don't win the World Series.
Yeah. That's true. Important. No, that's important to them.
He nailed it.
Yep, that's right. Last time they did it would have been Kirk Gibson, 88, and going around as an old man. That's the last time they pulled that off.
Yeah, so, Dustin, what else about the game? I mean, I thought that it was good to see Howie Kendrick do that. But, you know, the Dodgers also had some other problems. Their big bats and guys that had been hitting didn't seem to really come through. Is that just facing really good starting pitching?
I think that's a product of it, yeah. I mean, A.J. Pollock, what was he? Like 0 for 12 with 10 strikeouts? I mean, they just, you know, Cody Bellinger, I think he's over 70 postseason at-bats now without a homer or something like that, or maybe that was just at home, I'm not sure, but he's got a long streak of not driving the ball out of the yard. So, yeah, it's difficult to beat the Nationals when your best bats are not consistently coming through. Max Muncy's not a part of that. Max Muncy was awesome. He was really, really good. But I don't think Seager was very good as well. You know, they put a lot of pressure on their pitchers to really, really perform against a good baseball team. Let's not forget the Nationals, the way they finished the season with that absurd record in their last, like, 100 games or 110 games or something like that. I mean, they're a good baseball team. And I think what stood out to me about them is Dave Martinez looks like the guy everybody thought he was going to be as a manager, a guy that was really hyped up. Before he got that managerial job as somebody that was going to be the next star in that position. Well, he looked like it this series. Anthony Rendon is incredible. Anthony Rendon, I think that you can make a really good case that of any hitter in baseball right now, he might be the most difficult guy to get out. He doesn't really swing and miss ever. I mean, yeah, he does it occasionally, but compared to, you know, some of the top hitters in the game, you just don't really fool that guy. And last night was another display of that. The Juan Soto being Juan Soto. But just the way the Nationals managed that series, I mean, they got just enough out of Scherzer in the bullpen role. They got just enough out of him as a starter. They didn't push him too much. They didn't push Strasburg too much. They got Corbin back on track. And Daniel Hudson, I mean, he was throwing the ball really well in Toronto. They basically got him for nothing. They started using him a little bit differently. Man, what a revelation he's been for them in that bullpen. Suddenly they've got a guy that they feel confident in handing the baseball. And then Sean Doolittle looked a little bit better, more like the guy that was so good earlier that season. So the Nationals are a really good baseball team, but the Dodgers picked the wrong time to have some big managerial errors and also for some of those big bats to go silent.
Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. So, Dustin, the National League thing got blown up for everybody. But the American League idea that everybody had is obviously still in place. Astros going into Game 5 tonight. Give me the perfect A.J. Hinch plan for tonight. Assuming that Cole's not going to go complete game and just do it all himself, what do you think A.J. Hinch needs to be thinking about tonight in terms of situational moments with his bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, Gerrit Cole might be the most bankable pitcher in baseball right now in terms of knowing what you're going to get. He's just showing no signs at all of slowing down. He's going to be on full rest. I think you're expecting too much if you think that it's a given he's going to get to the eighth inning, just because he is such a strikeout guy, which sometimes that can inflate your pitch count and all those sorts of things. So I think he needs to have a plan ready for what do I do maybe perhaps in the middle of the seventh. What am I doing in the eighth? What am I doing in the ninth? But I think A.J. Hinch's biggest challenge is going to be maneuvering his lineup against what Tampa Bay does with its pitching, because Tampa Bay, this is not foreign territory for them. They're going to get what they can get out of whoever starts, and then they're going to throw everything at you. It might be an inning. It might be a batter. It might be two innings. But they're not. They know how to manage these types of games. They know how to manage – you know, they treat a lot of their regular season games as if you would a game five in this situation, where they'll use who they need to use to win the baseball game, and then they'll move on. So I think that's the challenge for Hinch, is what lineup does he use, and how does he use his bench down the stretch? Because I think this is going to be another close baseball game. I think Tampa's going to get good pitching again. I think Gerrit Cole's going to be really, really good. And I think it's going to come down to who can get one of those that big hit or two late in the game. And that might come down to how Houston uses that bench, because Tampa's going to throw a lot of arms at them again.
They are, and, man, they're talented. We know how talented those arms are. I think Houston, they already knew, but maybe some Houston fans are kind of finding that out. Nick Anderson, Pagan, Castillo, you go through it. Whose bullpen would you rather have? Which one's deeper, the Yankees or the Rays?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would I would probably give the slight edge to Tampa just because I think they're deeper, and they've operated all year like they're deeper. You know, this isn't unusual for them. You know, you need me to come in the third inning? Cool, no big deal. All right, we're going to go left, right, left here in the eighth inning? Fine, we've got the guys. We've done this. So I think you look at the Yankees in terms of pure stuff. I mean, they've got a lot of that in their bullpen, and they're kind of using it in a similar way to Tampa, just because their starting pitching hasn't been great to end the season. But I like Tampa's bullpen being a little bit deeper. They just have so many options, and they're so used to coming in whatever role. I mean, those guys are just programmed to understand that, hey, we might need to call on you at any point in the game. We need you to be ready to do it.
They're playing with house money and psychologically with momentum. It feels like Tampa's got nothing to lose right now. It's obviously important to always get up and be able to use your bullpen effectively in the right way. But is it even more important to get up early in this game and get something good going just for the psychological factor for this team and this crowd?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we saw it, unfortunately for Chad, we saw in that Atlanta game yesterday where that place was rocking and rolling and it was fired up and bam, it was silent. And it was dead silent for a long, long time besides some boos, I think. So I think the important thing for Houston is, you know, if Gerrit Cole comes out and he strikes out a couple batters in that first inning, crowd gets a little fired up. Even if they don't score a run early, they get some guys on base, they hit some balls hard, they keep that crowd into it. I think that that's a big deal. You don't want to get a situation where, you know, somebody pops Cole for a solo homer in the first inning and Glasnow comes out and strikes out the side. I mean, that's the sort of thing that can kill a mood in the crowd real quick. And these things, I mean, they do play a role. You know, it doesn't determine the outcome. But there's no doubt you can feel that energy and that momentum in the stadium. And Houston's been so good at home. And on the other side, it's been bad at Tampa. I mean, it's kind of like a house of horrors for them. So them getting back home behind that crowd, they've been so, so good with that crowd. I think the start is always important, but I think it's an especially important start when you're talking about a winner-take-all game.
Talking with Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com at DMcComasOB. If you want to follow on Twitter, check out the cool stuff at Orange Bloods. A lot of good podcasts and stuff. Also, Dustin and Kevin doing a baseball podcast.
Sir.
You definitely want to check out. Plus, it is a War Room night on a Thursday night at Orange Blood. So a lot going on.
That's Extra Bases.
Extra Bases, the podcast you'll want to check out there with these two guys. Dustin, switching to football here. Texas and Oklahoma, give me the simple formula. Texas beats Oklahoma on Saturday if they do what in your mind?
Whenever I think about this game, I keep going back to just the physicality and the aggressiveness. And if Texas is for four quarters, the more physical team, the more aggressive team, the more confident team, I think that they're going to win the football game. If Oklahoma can match Texas there, which has been an issue in the Cotton Bowl, it wasn't an issue in the Big 12 championship game, different situation, you're trying to avenge a loss, you're not playing in that same type of atmosphere. But in the Cotton Bowl, especially the last 2 years, Texas has been the far more physical football team. And when, you know, we saw two teams that were kind of close to even, unlike 2017, the result went Texas' way. So I think that if they play that way for four quarters, I think they can win. Now, we can talk about the defense and the offense. The offense is going to score points, and they're probably not going to commit many turnovers, maybe one. We just haven't seen them commit many turnovers. So they're going to keep the team in the game. And I don't know if the Texas defense can win Texas the game. It could certainly lose them the game, I think, but I don't know if it could win them the game. It really just comes down to so much of this game is, you know, who blinks? You know, we saw last year Kyler Murray blinked for just a little bit. You know, he had that costly interception. You know, Texas didn't really blink until it was up 21 points in the fourth quarter. And by then it was too much for Oklahoma to overcome. So if Texas takes that same type of mentality that we've seen the last 2 years with this football team, which I think is closer. I know Las Vegas doesn't reflect that, but I think it's closer to being even than the last 2 years. I think that that'll be enough to get them the win.
Sounds like starting left tackle Eric Swinson, it's going to be tough for him to play in this game. That'll push out a guard in R.J. Proctor to take on that spot. Adrian Ealy, the right tackle, is questionable. There were five NFL guys protecting Kyler Murray last year, including Creed Humphrey, who's back. Is that something Texas and Todd Orlando can take advantage of?
It is. You know, from what I saw of that Kansas game, I didn't watch all of it, but I did watch a good chunk of it. They got to Jalen Hurts a little bit. It was a frustrated Oklahoma offensive line. You know, I think they weren't used to getting, you know, having issues like that. You could see it, too. I think they had a couple personal foul penalties as well. They just want a dominant unit in a situation where they're often dominant. So, to me, the big question about this game is from Todd Orlando's perspective. We've seen him go after the quarterback a lot this year, LSU. It didn't work very well. Granted, LSU is a terrific offense. We've also seen him now more recently kind of play more zone and pick and choose when he's going to go after the quarterback. So I'll be curious to see, is he going to stick to that? You know, these adjustments that they've made over the last three games where they're not the team that's coming after you almost every single snap. Or is he looking at this Oklahoma offensive line and thinking, if I can get to Jalen Hurts, or if I can just get the ball out of his hands quickly, you know, and keep him from hanging in the pocket and tucking the run and all those sorts of things, is that the best way for my defense to try to win this football game? So I think that, you know, that there's definitely a situation there where Oklahoma could have a little bit of trouble with their offensive line. But as we know, if you're only rushing three, it's easier to handle those issues along the offensive line. Now, if you're constantly bringing five, maybe six sometimes, maybe even seven, we'll see. But we just haven't seen that often from Texas ever since that LSU game.
Dustin, we all know this is a game where guys can make their name and kind of just put their signature on it. Do you think DeSean Jameson, with that performance in Morgantown, both in obviously the defensive side, but also in the return game, which he's shown off this year too, you think he might be ready to put his name in Texas OU history?
I think it's a good pick. You know, if you're thinking about guys that are kind of not necessarily under the radar, but trying to establish themselves as key players, I mean, he'd be one of the first few guys I think of. You know, I know the Texas defense didn't play perfectly against West Virginia, but what I saw when I went back and watched again was it looked like a group, mainly the defensive backs, that were playing with a lot more confidence. I don't know if that was West Virginia. I don't know if it's a product of just more reps. I don't know if just being on the same page. What I think is this is a defense it's becoming more in sync. It really wasn't in sync much early in the season, especially when we bring pressure. It just seemed like guys were a step hesitant or a step slow or a step unsure of themselves. Now you've got B.J. Foster back playing with a ton of confidence. DeSean Jameson's playing with a ton of confidence. I mean, I'm totally okay with that guy committing a pass interference because it comes from him trusting his eyes and going after making a big play. And then later in the game, he has two interceptions. So the Texas secondary is banged up, and that's still an area I think Texas fans should be a little bit concerned about when you're playing arguably the best offense in the country and the best receiver group in the country. But I think this Texas secondary group is going to enter this contest playing with a lot of confidence. It'll be interesting to see if that continues against Oklahoma.
10.5, 11-point line. Dustin, what would you do with that, first of all? And then secondly, what do you think happens in this game? Who wins?
I'm taking Texas in terms of the line. Not only Tom Herman's track record as an underdog, but you have to go back to 2012 since Oklahoma's covered in this game in the Cotton Bowl. I know they're covered in the Big 12 championship game, but this is just a different game. It's just a different atmosphere. There's nothing like it in college football. So I definitely would take Texas to cover in that situation. I've gone back and forth. You know, last week I was going to pick Oklahoma. Now I'm just not too sure. I just keep going back to the fact that when Tom Herman has a team in that stadium, in this situation, they've been the tougher team. They've been the more physical team. They've been the more confident team 2 years in a row. And I'm not sure if that changes. So I'm kind of, you know, I feel like a politician right now going back and forth with, I think that if I might pick Texas right now, I might change my mind before Friday morning. But I think this is going to be another really, really good football game. I really do. Probably the same type of close score as the last 2 years, although it might not look like last year where one team is just way ahead. And even 2017, Oklahoma was up 20-0 in that game. I think this is going to be more of a back-and-forth affair. But I might take Texas if you made me pick right now.
Dustin, also real quick before we let you go, do you think the Astros get it done tonight and go to the ALCS?
I do. I like them at home. I like Gerrit Cole on full rest. It's really, really difficult to pick against Gerrit Cole. I mean, when he was last on the mound, it was one of the most dominant playoff performances I've ever seen in my life. You know, I think he gave up three hits. one of those hits was 98 miles an hour on the outside corner. I mean, he was awesome. I don't think he had a stretch where he was bad for consecutive hitters. He might not even ever been bad to one hitter. So I can't pick against Garrett Cole tonight. I've got the Astros winning.
That makes total that makes total baseball sense and eyeball sense if you've watched Garrett Cole. Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com, at DMcComasOB on Twitter. Dustin, enjoy baseball tonight and football over the weekend, and we always appreciate the time, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
Great stuff with Dustin McComas. By the way, did you ever see the video of Dustin and his wife and the gender reveal?
Oh, yeah.
Reveal?
Yeah. I was all over that.
That's a solid gender reveal idea.
It's a great one.
I had not seen. Maybe you're the one that showed me that.
I think I did.
My wife was confused today when I said, you showed me, right? Maybe you're the one that showed me. Yeah, doing the baseball bat, hitting the ball, and then the blue dust
flies. Did you see the Marlins pitcher?
That was cool.
I think it was a Marlins pitcher.
Uh-uh.
It was a pitcher that had one a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And they were trying, I guess, to beat a balloon with a bat. I don't know why you just wouldn't poke it, but they were trying to like hit it so it would explode.
Yeah.
And the balloon flew off. And it got even better. This guy's trying to he gets on the gate because he's trying to grab it, and then he falls off.
Oh no.
Oh no, it was.
Oh my god.
It was like a sketch.
Did we ever see what it was?
No, it went away.
Just gone?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Should have shot it down or something. Shoot it with a gun at that point. All right. Thanks to Dustin for his time. Big three coming up, and then we'll grab Rod Babers again. Rod is up in Dallas getting ready for the softball game. We will get to that. Right now, though, before we go any further, let me get to McCullough Heating and Air Conditioning. Weather is cooling down a little bit, but this could be a great time for you to deal with that old AC system. If you've been in your house a long time, like we've been, if it's over 10 years and it's an old, tired system, this might be a great time, because the fall inventory clearance is going on at McCullough Heating and Air Conditioning, so you can save thousands on a new high-efficiency Carrier system. They want to keep their top-notch crews out there, and they also want to get you great prices. Clear out their inventory. You get incredible prices on those great Carrier systems. We've got a brand new Carrier system at our house now. It's running really well. My wife and daughter were, you know, making comments last night as we were putting her to bed about how great it feels and how great the house feels. These systems come with 10-year parts and labor warranties, an allergy-fighting whole house air purifier, and 0% 4-year financing. So turn to the experts to schedule your free, no obligation quote during their fall inventory clearance. Call McCullough now at 512-640-2811. That's 512-640-2811. Be sure to tell them you heard about it here on the Horn and heard me talking about it. McCullough has been something that I've used for a long time now. They always treat us right, explain everything. They're on time. They do a great job. Financing with approved credit, license 26116E. McCullough Heating and Air Conditioning, they took care of my family, and they will do the same for you. Big three coming up. Astros getting set for a game 5. Plus, we got a big weekend all over football, including, of course, Texas and Oklahoma. We're at HEB on 79. Come register for those Coors Light Silver Bullet seats. That's for the Kansas game, for the next home game. Get on out here. We'll be here till 7. This is the Horn. Rolling through a Thursday, we're here at HEB on 79 East Palm Valley Road. Come get registered for the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats for the Kansas game. Sam Pika back in the studio producing. Always nice tunes coming from Sam. We appreciate that. Rod Babers is waiting for the Longhorn Insider segment. Before that, let's get a real quick Big Three, and we'll set you up for tonight.
The Big Three.
It is brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Just told you about them. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, just like I did. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. If you are an Astros fan, you know you are less than 2 hours away, about an hour and a half now. 6:07 on the first pitch time. It is Garrett Cole and Tyler Glasnow. The winner will go to face the Yankees. If it is Houston, it will be the Yankees coming to Houston for game 1. If it is Tampa Bay, the Yankees would then host the first game of the ALCS. Last night, Washington beats L.A. It's Washington and St. Louis, and Vegas says Washington is the favorite in the NLCS. Their game 1 is tomorrow.
I know you love good cussing. Did you see the St. Louis manager?
No.
After?
No, did we get some swearing?
Some good F-bombs.
You'll pardon me for not watching that game all the way to the
That's
end.
That's fair. No, it was more on social media after.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think
yeah.
They kind of snuck it in there. I mean, it wasn't like it was one of the big TV crews. But
gotcha.
Yeah, he said that no one F's with us. They gave us S, and we gave it right back to them.
Nice.
I don't give an F who we play because we're going to F them up.
There it is. Wow. All right. So he's not just talking about meetings anymore. No more meetings and champagne. Yeah. All right. Tonight in college football, if you want a little bit of that, how about Syracuse at NC State? Both teams are 3-2. That's on ESPN at 7. Then ULM at Texas State. Shout out to the Bobcats. A little love tonight for Coach Spavital's team. They're 2-3. So is ULM. That's an 8:15 start on ESPNU.
Tough turnaround there, too, because ULM, first off, they've had a really tough non-conference slate, and they played pretty well considering they're 2-3. But they've got a turnaround. This is a really quick turnaround for them.
For ULM?
Yeah.
Yep. Hopefully Texas State can take advantage of that. Also tonight in football, you got the Giants at the Patriots, the Fox NFL matchup there on as far as the network goes. All right, it is time for the Rod Babers Longhorn Insider segment. As we bring Rod in, let's remind you, we told you earlier he's going to be up there tonight in Frisco for the celebrity softball game. But also remember, tomorrow Rod will fire up our coverage from Dallas. It's Twin Peaks in Addison. The address is 5260 Beltline Road. That's where we're going to be. Rod will start out at 1. We'll roll all the way through till 6:30 with the round table, throwing in different combinations of guys to talk about Texas and Oklahoma. So that starts at 1
Should
tomorrow.
Should be fun. Trampy was going to come, but he realized it's in Addison. It's too far up. They're done.
It's too far.
But I think a lot of people are going to be around there.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see a lot of folks coming to Twin Peaks in Addison tomorrow to see us. Kevin and Trey are going to be hanging back here in Austin. It's actually going to be Kevin and Rod on the post game this week. Rod's going to be all over the state getting back and forth. Rod, how's Dallas? Did you get up to Frisco yet?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to check into the hotel real quick, and then I'll probably head on over to the facility, the Dr. Pepper Ballpark, I believe it's at. So, yeah, I will check in, hang out a little bit. Maybe I can grab something to eat real quick, and then, yeah, it'll be time to get the festivities going.
Now, have you ever broadcasted baseball? Do you have any expertise in this area? Or, excuse me, have you ever broadcasted a celebrity softball game? That's the question.
No, I've done celebrity kickball. I've done celebrity basketball games. I've never done celebrity softball. But I'm assuming it's all the same kind of tone. Nobody out there is taking it too seriously. So that's why I can get away with it. You don't need Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns, out there. Nobody's that anal about it. But, I'm sure it's going to be a really good time. Looking forward to it. Man, I wonder how much trash talk we're going to get. I'm assuming it's going to be trash talk from the very beginning to the end.
I would think so.
How much trash talk was going on the 4 years you played in this game, before and then also during the game?
Yeah, there's always a little trash talk. We never really started, but we were still playing. You know, I'm an old man. Back in the day when you would almost share the tunnel together. They would put you guys out there, both of the teams would walk out of the tunnel together. And that was, that was a recipe for disaster. So I'm glad they didn't do that anymore. Some of us probably going to get hurt while they did that, but that was always a great time to trash talk. Then the stretching before the game, I'm sure you guys have seen it before. Either a Longhorn player or a Sooner player, they'll probably get up, start facing the other team and maybe start gesturing or talking some trash. But, you can tell a lot if you just pay attention. And we've talked about it on this show. You can tell a lot by the body language of guys. You can tell a lot by the antics before the game if some of those guys are ready to play in that hostile environment.
Yeah, it is always fun to watch that. You try to figure out what does the posturing mean, how much of it is important, how much of it isn't. Rod, we had somebody text us, Texas wins if they stop the run and don't turn the ball over. That's a nice, simple formula. Do you think it's that simple? And then give me an idea of that Texas run game. Do you think there's enough there to really get after Oklahoma with the running backs and obviously Sam?
I totally agree. Yeah, I wish it was that simple, right? If you just the formula would be just stop the run and then you can force turnovers. I think that Texas will be able to run the ball, but I don't know if it'll be a conventional running game against Oklahoma. I think our offensive line can move them around and impose their will. But, like I said, I don't know which running back's going to get hot. Is it going to be Rashawn Johnson? Is it going to be Keontae Ingram? Surely it'd be great if you can get the best version of both of those guys in that game. So in the end, I think it's got to be Sam. And not that, you'd be over-reliant on Sam. Not that he's got to be the Sam Ellinger show and he's got to be the entire running game. But I think you really can change the landscape of their game plan if you can force them to have to take Sam into take him into account as a runner in the plus one in the running game. So I think Sam as a runner is going to be big. We know they like to unleash him in the big game. So he's the reason you can win the rushing battle. But that's going to be tough, man, against Jalen Hurts. He's probably the best dual-threat quarterback in the country right now. Nobody has more rushing yards on design quarterback runs. So when they dial it up, man, when they have their plus one in the running game, they can put seven guys in the box, and they can run with anybody. I believe in the last 10 years, they've averaged their average yards per carry is the highest of any FBS team. They're averaging 8.8 yards per carry, something ridiculous like that. Jalen Hurts, you take away his sack yards, he's averaging 10 yards per carry. So that's going to be a Herculean task, and I think Todd Orlando will make that his top priority. And then once you do make the one-dimensional, and let's pray that Todd Orlando can do that, then you got to worry about Jalen Hurts as a passer, and he's having his best year ever as a passer. He's got 5 deep passing touchdowns. That's the most he's had in his career, guys. He's only had six weeks under Lincoln Riley.
I know we expect to see more design runs, and the numbers show that whenever Texas is playing in this type of game, and that makes sense. What other wrinkles, though? I mean, real wrinkles. You know, we've talked about Roshan and a halfback pass. What other things do you expect to see in the offensive game plan?
Yeah, I know. I know. We're waiting on that Roshan. I think Alex Grinch is waiting on that Roshan Johnson halfback pass.
It seems like
it's going to be a natural fit. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt if we saw something along those lines. But, yeah, I'm still waiting on that offensive ring. You know, maybe Tom Herman was saving for this game. And I keep coming back. Jeff High and I talked about it. I keep coming back to that 10 personnel package that we heard about in the preseason but hadn't seen yet. And I think a big reason why we probably hadn't seen it, number one, Tom Herman's comfortable running his 11 personnel, one pack, one back, one tight end. But also because of the injury to Colin Johnson. I mean, that was devastating for the passing game, if not for Devin Duvernay. I mean, we don't know where this passing game would be if he hadn't stepped up. So you hadn't missed Colin Johnson too much because Devin Duvernay, new captain, by the way, has been spectacular. But now with Colin Johnson added to the mix, remember they said they came up with that 10 personnel package with 4 wide receivers because Brandon Eagles was playing so good well during training camp. They needed a package to put their 10, their 11 best guys on the field. And I still think that's the case when you bring Colin Johnson out there. Now with Devin Duvernay performing at a high level, Jake Smith, Brandon Eagles, I still think, man, you could be really, really dangerous in that set with, you know, forcing a team to go 4 DBs across the board to match up with your 4 wide receivers. They'll probably put a deep safety back, and that means you'll have a natural numbers advantage in the running game with Sam, the running back, their 5 offensive linemen, 7 on their 6. And if they want to put 7-on-7, then that means you got 0 coverage on the outside with Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay. I just think that's an impossible equation for any defensive coordinator to solve. And I still think you're going to see it at one point this year. It makes too much sense. And think about this, guys. Next year, you won't have that ability. All right? Next year, you don't have Duvernay. Next year, you don't have Colin Johnson. You are uniquely presenting with this personnel group. I think something that you may not be able to do next year just may not be in the cards because you're going to be missing 2 unique talents in Duvernay and Colin Johnson moving on to the next level.
That's a great point. You get to play this game one time, right?
Yep.
One time this year
exactly.
With this personnel. We'll see what it looks like, man. That's awesome. Rod Babers, weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast. Remember, check out hook'em.com tonight for the softball game. Aaron, Rod, and Eric Raines from our building going to be broadcasting that. Rod, have a great time tonight. Hopefully the Longhorns will get that victory and then get them a little motivation for Saturday. Stay safe, and I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
All right, fellas. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. And it's 4:43, and OU still sucks. You're damn right.
There it is. Have your cleats on in case we need you tonight.
Darn right.
All right. Rod, stay in the trunk.
That's right.
A lot like Verlander. Whoa, why are your cleats on? I'm just saying. If you need me for a pitch tonight, I'm just saying.
That's right. If you need it, it's there. Rod Babers up there in Frisco getting ready for the softball game. I know he's got, I'm sure, a nerve or two getting ready for this Astros game, too. He's an Astros fan. 6:07. Rod, if you're still there, you want to give us a Go Stros for tonight?
Go Stros!
Okay. You see that?
That had some confidence in it.
Trying to be nice here. I'm trying to be respectful to the Astros fans. I know it's a big night trying to advance to the ALCS. So we wanted to let Rod get that one in there. All right. More coming up. If you want to slip a voicemail in, 337-3776 is that number. We'll check voicemails. Then Kevin's got a one and done for you. Coming up at 5:05, you never want to miss the Brian Jones segment. Brian Jones of CBS Sports.
Shut up.
Not only to talk about Texas and Oklahoma, he didn't even know what it's like to lose to Oklahoma. He showed up at Texas after making the UCLA mistake, and he won two during the Peter Gardere run. So we'll ask Brian about that, but also we'll ask Brian about the game in College Station, the game in Iowa City. Is Penn State going to get a big road win? And does he think Florida can upset LSU in Death Valley? All that coming up at 5:05.
Yeah, and two classic games. My first one was 89-28-24, the Johnny Walker game. Michael Padgett ended up taking a muffed kick, I believe, kickoff, may have been punt, back for a touchdown. I've talked about it ensuing extra point. It goes over the snapper or the holder's head, and Wayne Clements with only one shoe picks it up and just chunks it back there. And I think it was like Jimmy Hakes or something
wow,
like that.
Wow, look at you, Jimmy
Hakes.
Who ended
up catching it, where it was just – it was nuts. And then, and Oklahoma would have been sixth in the country, Texas unranked. Next year, 1990, is the 14-13 game. Artie Lasher. They hadn't saved enough timeouts, and they had to run Lasher out there, and he missed it. Great call by Brad Sham. I was listening to that on radio. And both those games, we just felt like complete underdogs. There's been a lot more Thursdays where I've headed into this game and thought we have no chance. Texas has more than a chance in this. In fact, I think it may be more 50-50 than people think. Definitely Vegas.
Voicemails and Kevin's first one and done coming right up. We're at HEB on 79. Come get registered for the next Texas home game. Coors Light Silver Bullet seats for the Kansas game. We are here till 7 on the Horn. Grooving through a Thursday. It always happens when Sam Fika's producing. Things get a little groovy. He hit a little disco vibe a week or so ago, but now it's back to this sounds like a Sam Fika produced show. Sam, what do you got?
This is Jamiroquai, Space Cowboy.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we got one and done coming up, but first we got to check the voicemails, 337-3776. We are told there are three of them, so here we go. Voicemail number one.
When talking to Brian Jones, let's not forget the nation's greatest intersectional rivalry, which will be played in South Bend on Saturday night. Go Irish.
Oh, there you go.
No doubt. I mean, it's easily, you want to talk about all over the country, it's the best one, because most are pretty regional.
Oh,
right?
Man.
And even Michigan, Ohio State, and obviously Texas OU. But, yeah, that would be the one.
I always talk about when Texas plays Notre Dame, there aren't many games in college football that Dallas and Chicago care about equally. You could say Chicago and L.A. too. That's just not many. There's not another college football game I could think of that those two cities would really care about.
Well, and how it started too. I mean, so Notre Dame was traveling. They would go east. We hear about Subway alumni. And they would go west with Newt Rockne, take the train couple days to go to LA to take on SC.
Yep.
And so that was really getting college football started and starting to mix it up a little bit and not be as regional. And that's, you got to give credit to Notre Dame and Newt Rockne one, but then USC to be a part of that.
Let's hope it's a good game. It always looks badass when those two get together. How about voicemail number two?
You know, Chad called himself stepdad of the Blitz. I want to tell all you guys out there, he gave you warning, told you there'd be consequences. I kind of thought, like most stepdads, he'd just drink too much over the weekend, forget about everything he said, things would go back to normal. But nope, he put his foot down, the Blitz is gone, and as a stepdad would always say, you only have yourselves to blame.
That's
how
funny.
How about that?
There's a lot of truth to that. I was curious if you came back, and because you can be a very forgiving person. It's one of the many good traits you have.
Yeah.
And that in your bathroom, just etiquette.
That too.
And all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're done. You're also one of those people. I mean, I think you had a lot of patience. A lot of patience with them. There had been multiple warnings.
There had.
Vontez.
We just say, yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. They'd come to the lake house. They wouldn't take care of the jet skis. I'd had enough. We had to sell it.
I love it.
How about voicemail number three real quick?
Yeah, is there any way you can move the voicemails till after Trey Elling leaves? Then you might be able to get some messages.
That's fair.
At least looked at.
Yeah, that's true. We'll look at him. Yeah, Sam was definitely looking at him. All right, there's some voicemails. Remember, 337-3776. We'll go 545 and throw some more out there if you want to. If you have anything to say, we know Kevin's always got something to say. One and done right about this time each and every show. Here's Kevin.
I may be wrong. I think this line is way too high in this game. I mean, 10.5, 11. And you look at the talent and some of the advantages and definitely some of the weaknesses that both teams have, some of the injuries that both teams have. I don't get it. I also don't get it with this rivalry. Look, the best intersectional rivalry is Notre Dame-USC. Texas OU is different than anything. Michigan-Ohio State could take the claim as, hey, we got the most AP, you know, AP top 25 games, yada, yada, yada. And that's special. Alabama-Auburn is special. Florida-Georgia is special. There's a lot of special games. But because of the way this is situated and because of the crowd and because of the frantic momentum and emotion that swings back and forth, Chad, I looked at it. 1989, my first one to go to. Oklahoma's 15 in the country. Texas is unranked and coming in at a nice 2-2.
Ugh.
Right, okay? And yep. They end up winning that thing 28-24. The next year, Texas is, I didn't check to see if they're ranked, but they're just starting. Remember, they would have had one loss because of that 29-22 Colorado loss, and they came in and faced the number 4 team in the country in Oklahoma, and they won that game. The next year, Texas, a 5-6 team, did not score an offensive touchdown in the game. An unranked Texas beat number 6 Oklahoma on a Bubba Jacks fumble recovery back for 6. This game is just different, and we've seen it go the other way, too, where more talented Texas teams have lost. What it comes down to is being able to harness your emotions, being able to use that, and still go play really quality football. Mack Brown did some incredible things for this football program, and there's a 10-year span where, man, Texas was pretty damn dominant. But this will always be that game that we look at, even when he started to win it and get it a little bit, and say, man, we really pissed away some talent. And we did it because, as Casey would say, the guys weren't letting their balls hang. I don't blame them. I blame Mac for that. And the one thing I really love about this program right now, I don't worry about that. I may worry about the pass defense. I may worry about big plays. I may worry about if Orlando can get these guys at the right time to blitz and then maybe stay back. I don't worry about them being psyched and really understanding, as Scipio said in that great article, that this is a fight. That is a very comforting feeling going into this game.
Texas and Oklahoma, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. We'll fire it up at 7 from the fairgrounds. We're going to the Texas Exes tent over there by the museum where we've been before. Tomorrow it is Twin Peaks in Addison there on Beltline Road. By the way, quick limb prediction. I'm going to say whoever wins this game does have an offensive touchdown. How about that?
Oh.
How about that?
Look at that. Look at that. That's why I love Peter, but it was a really 3.5 if you want to look at it.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
All right. Speaking of Mr. Gardair, we'll talk to one of his teammates coming up here in a second.
Texas was 2-1 in 1990 when they faced fourth-ranked Oklahoma, and they were unranked because they had won at Penn State, and they had lost to Colorado, and they'd beat Rice.
Well, let's find out how the heck they beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Brian could probably give us the secret.
I bet you he could.
He probably knows.
In 90s because he lost weight. We'll get into that.
He slimmed down a little bit. There it is. Brian Jones, CBS Sports, coming up next to give us his pick on Texas OU and the other big games of the weekend. Do not move. It's HEB on 79. Come get registered for the Silver Bullet seats from Coors Light. Thanks to them for being a great partner of ours. Chrissy is here sampling the Blood and Honey if you want to come out and try that great
blood
beer
honey,
that they
honey.
distribute. Kevin's trying to make up the song for them. You get registered for the tickets and come see us. It's the Horn.